We are now called to order the Township of Piscataway Council meeting of January 23rd, 2025. Adequate notice of this meeting has been provided as required under Chapter 231 PL 1975, specifying the time, date, location, login, or dial-in information, and to the extent known, the agenda by posting a copy of the notice of the municipal building, municipal court, and two municipal library bulletin boards, municipal website, providing a copy to the official newspapers of the township, and by filing a copy in the office of the township clerk in accordance with this, a certification by the clerk which will be entered in the minutes. There will be public comment periods for both remote and in-person attendees separately. Each member of the public shall only have one opportunity to speak during each public portion. As technology does not allow us to know if there are multiple callers on an individual phone line or logged in user account, we ask that if you wish to speak, that you log in or dial in separately so that way we can recognize you as a separate individual. Should you have any further comments or questions, the Township Council is always available by email and phone, and you can always call the mayor's office during normal operating hours. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Cahill?
Here.
Councilmember Carmichael?
Here.
Councilmember Leibowitz? Councilmember Lombardi?
Here.
Councilmember Rashid?
Here.
Councilmember Erin?
Here.
Council President Espinosa?
Here. Please join me in saluting the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. We would now like to present the awards to the winners of the holiday house decorating contest.
Councilperson, if I can have both you and Councilwoman Lombardi down here, and then Paul's going to read the names off, and we're going to have the folks come up.
Sure.
And taking a look at your houses. So.
She's got one.
Okay, so we will do the presentation of plaques at this time now. So we'll start first with the most traditional. Third place goes to 53 Lehigh Avenue, and that's Danielle Russomano. So if you're here, please come on up. And if you have any family members with you, bring them up. Second place is 8 Fountain Avenue, Tyrone Granando. And first place for most traditional is 51 Hedgerow Street, Michelle Ralston. So now we'll move on to most creative. Third place in the most creative category is 110 Netherwood Avenue, Dawn and Sean Sittler. They're not here. Second place was 43 Azalea Place, Joe Wojewicz. And first place in the most creative category is 2808 Hudson Street, Michael Cruz. He didn't want to come out in the cold weather. So the best overall category, third place, 37 Crestwood Street, Bob Campanaro. Second place in best overall, 117 McKinnon Street, Melissa Nieves. And first place in the best overall was 122 Perrine Avenue, Janina and Jonathan Boltram. Congratulations. All right. We'll remember that. Thank you, everyone. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, we have a proclamation that we want to present tonight.
Absolutely, Council President. And then when I'm finished reading this proclamation, I'll have you and Sarah Rashid come up for a photo, and then we're going to have the Iman and the rest of the congregation come up. Piscataway is proud of its rich cultural history and diversity, and whereas the township of Piscataway is home to a significant Muslim American population from diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds, is home to the Muslim Center of Middlesex County and the Anwar Academy. And whereas Muslim Heritage Month highlights the achievements and contributions of Muslim Americans in various fields, including science, medicine, education, arts, business, and more. And whereas strong commitment to family, faith, hard work, and service has enriched and enhanced our community. And whereas Piscataway Township strives to foster understanding, appreciation, and unity among our diverse community, and whereas Muslim Heritage Month highlights the rich histories, cultures, and shared principles of Muslim Americans. Now, therefore, I, Brian Waller, Mayor of Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, along with the Township Council, recognize the contributions of Muslim American community, declare the month of January as Muslim Heritage Month, and encourage all residents to celebrate the strength found in our community's diversity and support efforts that promote respect, inclusion, and cultural awareness. So with that, if I could have Iman Smith come on up. And
May I say something?
Sure.
I just wanted to thank the mayor and the council. This is really an honor for honoring Muslim Heritage Month. So thank you for the community coming out in the cold weather. I know it's not easy. So thank you for coming out. And thank you, mayor and the council. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thanks everyone. I'm going back to business here. Okay, are there any comments from the administration and council regarding the adjournment of any matters on this agenda?
None.
Thank you. Okay, we're gonna open to the public comments regarding item number 11, consent agenda items. Open to the remote attendees first. If you speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or if by phone by pressing *9. When it's your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click on the prompt or press *6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you will have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. Cedar, do we have anybody in queue?
Council President, there are no attendees with their hand raised for this agenda item.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cedar. Opening up to the in-person attendees, if you wish to speak at this time, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and know that you have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. You may take a seat after completion of your comments or questions, and the council or administration will then respond if necessary.
Yeah, hi, Pratik, 29 Redwood Road. Just a question on number E, which is adopting Township Affordable Housing Share Obligation Program. And I just have a fundamental question. When I came to this township in 1998, I know we were not doing that great. However, I didn't hear all this stuff about affordable housing. I mean, people were still able to do their jobs. get their merry way of free markets and able to find a housing based on the mortgage rates and whatnot. Now, if you're talking about that this township has become prosperous, why do we need affordable housing? And to be more precise, this is nothing more than just creating a welfare state, and they call it affordable housing, I just call it affordable hearts, which in the long run, it promotes more welfare than the benefits that anybody in the council can promise. Thank you. And I would just like to understand what is this about. Because if you are doing this for everyone, let me just give you a good story. One of my tenant, who graduated from Piscataway High School, was not able to pay the rent. He had to find a job in Colorado for whatever reason, and his wife is here and he has to go up and down. So I don't know how your programs work, but they are not working for the citizens or whatever, for the township of this county. Thank you.
Mandated by the state. It's a new Council of Affordable Housing Law. This is in effect. Every town had a submitted plan. They gave us a GIS map of where they think there was developable property. The problem was we had to go through the map. They had this complex, the municipal complex here in the public works yard for affordable housing. They had the ecological park for affordable housing. They actually had the mosque as affordable housing. Houses of worship as affordable housing, parts of school districts property, affordable housing. It was discombobulated, to say the least. I'm not too thrilled with this right now, and I'll be honest with you, because we're lumped in with Somerset County and Hunterdon County, and those towns that did not have a zero obligation means that the towns that are left have to pick up more of the burden. We did the calculation of the about 60 acres that allegedly is supposedly available for affordable housing. We would have to build 50 units per acre. 50 units per acre. That means it would have to be at least six floors high. Six floors high. Now, I know when these get sited in certain neighborhoods, the neighborhoods are going to go through the roof on that, and I don't blame them. But this is being mandated by the state, and you have housing advocates around the state that are salivating with this. They don't care, you know, proper planning goes out the window with this. It's just, I like to think that all along we've been having affordable homes here, meaning our obligation, we've always met our obligation and we'll continue to do so. But this time around, it's not fair that Piscataway is shouldering the burden of the region, not in this area, of the region, the Somerset County. You had towns in Middlesex County, three or four towns that had zero obligation.
Mr. Mayor, if I could ask, why aren't those counties being held accountable? Because it is mandated by the state, right? It's a law.
Question. I just, when they passed this law in the state legislature signed by the governor, they didn't bother to tell anybody about the affordability that the other towns that were left, that you're going to be shouldering the obligation of all the other towns. Normally you'd have, you're finished with your comments. So, but that was one of the big deals. I mean, we came up with the plan. We're going to contest this number because it's just not logistically feasible to have that many, because by the time you add in the stormwater management regulations, the DEP regulations, the roads and this, that, you're going to have 70 units per acre, which is crazy, and there will be no room for parking or anything.
So the question,
it was not a well thought out for every community in the state of New York, and the fact that they were using GIS maps, that they had the DPW yard and this building, this property right here, our entire municipal complex, the community center was on the property.
In their calculation,
right. Everything. It's just
the question
crazy.
I have is, can we find out who anybody or our residents can call regarding this issue?
Well, I think
contact?
This is too early. The deadline's the 31st of this month for all 565 towns to submit their plans. You can either agree with it or contest it. Obviously, we're contesting it because
you can't include this building.
Yeah, you can't. It's just absurd. So
can give people a name that they can contact with.
So it'll be the Department of Community Affairs.
That's what I'm saying.
Way when they passed this law back over the summer, we only got the GIS maps, I think Raj, what, about 2 weeks ago, if that? 2 weeks ago, and staff was scrambling going through line by line.
So we're going to submit what we propose based upon taking out these locations, correct?
Yes, but when we figured it out, there's a half. All one spot mattered.
So if you do the math, it's 2,500 units. So even though the obligation would be 500, you got to times that by five. So
right.
Five. So it's 2,500 units.
So then the problem is looking at the units per acre.
Then in some areas, maybe more. So you're two at six stories or whatever.
Could you imagine some? I think we'll send their complaints down to fair share housing and housing and development.
Thank you, Mayor. Anyone else open to the public?
I just had one more question on each.
Close to the public. We have an ordinance second reading designating a qualified purchasing agent. Let's see it.
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled an ordinance of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, designating a qualified purchasing agent pursuant to NJSA 48:11-9 was introduced on the second day of January 2025 and had passed the first reading and was published on the eighth day of January 2025. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the aforesaid ordinance, having had a second reading on January 23rd, 2025, be adopted, passed, and after passage, be published together with a notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 2025-01.
Thank you, Ms. Yeter. We're going to open this to the public. For the remote attendees, if you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or by phone by pressing star 9. When it's your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click on the prompt or press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. Ms. Cedar, do we have anybody in queue?
Council President, there are no individuals with their hand raised regarding this agenda item.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Opening up to the in-person attendees. If you wish to speak at this time, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and know that you have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. You may take a seat at the completion of your comments or questions, and the council or administration will then respond if necessary. Do we have any in-person attendees? I see none. Close to the public. Sorry, may I have a motion, please?
Motion, Councilwoman Cahill.
A second?
Second, Councilwoman Lombardi.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Roll call.
Councilmember Cahill?
Yes.
Councilmember Carmichael?
Yes.
Councilmember Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilmember Rashid?
Yes.
Councilmember Uren?
Yes.
Council President Espinosa?
Yes. Second reading pass. Okay, we have a first reading amending Chapter 7, Traffic Section 8. Resolution adopting ordinance, Ms. Cedar.
Be resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance to Amend and Supplement the Revised General Ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, amending and supplementing Chapter 7, Traffic Section 8, be and is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 11th day of February 2025. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. May I have a motion?
Council President, I'll make a motion, but I also want to make a comment that I'm glad to see this, but I'm guessing we had some problems with people parking in the electric stations. Okay, so that makes good sense, right? We want to make sure that electric vehicles have those spots to charge. So I'll make that motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Gayo. May I have a second?
Second, Councilwoman Lombardi.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Cahill?
Yes.
Councilmember Carmichael?
Yes.
Councilmember Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilmember Rashid?
Yes.
Councilmember Uren?
Yes.
Council President Espinosa?
Yes. First reading passes. Thank you. Going down to the consent agenda, where efficiency items have been consolidated into a consent agenda to be voted on together. The materials for these items have been distributed to the council in advance of the meeting. At this time, are there any items that the council would like removed from the consent agenda to be discussed or voted on separately?
Council.
I see none. Thank you so much.
Got it.
And may I have a motion, please?
Motion.
Second, Carmichael.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Cahill?
Yes.
Councilmember Carmichael?
Yes.
Councilmember Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilmember Rashid?
Yes.
Councilmember Uren?
Yes.
Council President Espinosa?
Yes. Okay, announcements and comments from our officials. Councilwoman Gabrielle Cahill.
Thank you, Council President. I would just like to remind folks of some events that are coming up this Saturday. At noon, there'll be the India Republic Day flag raising at the Community Center, at the Y there. And then at 1 p.m. at Kennedy Library will be the Muslim Heritage Month event. And that is all for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Councilwoman Sharon Carmichael.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I would like to congratulate the winners of the holiday decorating contest. That was so fun, even though I didn't do it. And happy Muslim Heritage Month. I think it's great that the town does that kind of recognition. The third thing I want to remind everyone, this Saturday at 9:30 a.m., we will have the Piscataway Civil Rights Advisory Commission's annual Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast. And we will have, as a guest speaker, Mr. Mark Morial, who is the president of the National Urban League. And we'll have other guests from the community speaking. And we'll also have Mr. Reggie Johnson from the NAACP, and myself will be co-hosting. And so we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have food. We're going to have a great band. Valley Adams and the Dimension Band will be there again. Everyone loves them.
Yeah, I've always.
And so we're looking for a great time. So come on out, bring your. Oh, if you haven't, RSVP.
No, it's closed, Sean.
Yeah, it's closed.
It's full. I was going to say, I don't even know if there's any room.
I was going to invite you, but if you didn't, RSVP, is it on Zoom? I think it might be.
No,
No, but it might be. So. We'll take pictures and we'll share. So, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Councilwoman Michelle Lombardi.
Thank you, President. I would like to thank our DPW for their first snowstorm job. They did a very, very good job. We were out and about on the roads that evening watching some of them doing what they were doing, and we feel they were doing a good job. The first storm down, hopefully not many others, but thank you to the DPW for their work in our first snowstorm of the season.
Thank you, Councilwoman Lombardi. Councilwoman Sarah Rashid.
Hi. So the only thing I want to say is thank you again. Muslim Heritage Month, very excited, looking forward to the weekend events. I do want to wish a happy Chinese New Year, Gong Xi Fa Chai. It's the year of the snake. And so, you know, Gong Xi Fa Chai to everyone that's celebrating.
The year of what?
The year of the snake.
It's the year of the snake. Yes. That's the, I was born in the year of the snake.
I know it's the year.
It's a good thing, actually.
Thank you, Councilwoman Sarah Rashid. Councilman Frankern.
No comment at this time, Council President.
Thank you, sir. Mayor?
Council President, we weren't able to award a pass on tonight, but we're expected.
Yeah, we should have it on for February 11th.
Okay. No, there's going to be an amendment to the 10 Normandy Drive redevelopment plan. Evidently, the owner bought the small adjacent house next door, so it has to be amended by the council on that. So that should be on for the next meeting. Also, I want to let the council members know there's been a lot of talk down in Washington about the elimination of municipal bonds, tax-free municipal bonds, which would be devastating to all local government entities throughout the whole country.
Was that last
basically
week?
They want to take the tax-free entity off. Right now, counties and towns account for almost 90% of the infrastructure work that's done in this country, whereas the federal government's probably 10%. If you take the availability of us to borrow and get the rates like that, that means the costs are going to be passed on to the local ratepayers here if they do that. I think that would be devastating. The other issue is that our solar project that's underway, they're talking about eliminating the tax credits, which we fought very hard to get. So which could have financial implications for this town and many other towns across the country. So stay tuned on this one. There's going to be a bloodbath going on in Washington.
That's not
there
bad
will
good
be a
news.
Tax bill, by
how,
the way.
How soon is that supposed to be?
Well, I'm expecting that they're going to be proposing a tax bill sometime in the next three months. So I'm expecting sometime over the summer that they'll pass some bill. But, you know, some of the things that are being proposed there could be quite devastating to us locally.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mayor.
Can we, Council President, before we go into the next session, one or the other is here.
Okay.
So we have our most creative first place winner, Michael Cruz, for 2808 Hudson Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Business Administrator Paula.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So I just want to bring attention to one of the resolutions that are on the agenda. It's for the Local Recreation Improvement Grant. That is done by the state of New Jersey. It's, I think, the third or fourth year that the state has done this. And we are applying for the maximum of $100,000. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit more if I can write a very convincing narrative. But the point of the what our ask is for is to continue the goal of the mayor and the council here to continue our sustainability efforts. And what we're doing is replacing the metal halide lighting at the Riverside Softball Park with LEDs. And to put that in perspective, a metal halide light has a 3,000-hour lifetime. An LED has a 100,000-hour lifetime. We are already at over 5,000 hours of use, so it's time to replace. The LED lights are also, they control spillage. So in other words, you're not spilling light in areas you don't want it. And the glare. So that's on the agenda, as well as the application approval for the ecological park. It's the HDSRF. The township is asking for grant money to remediate that property. So, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So that's what we're doing. And I just wanted to put a reminder out that the rabies clinic is January 25th, this Saturday, from 9 a.m. to noon for last names beginning A through K. And then Saturday, February 1st, 9 a.m. to noon, last names beginning with L to Z. And this is held at the Public Works Garage. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And as a reminder, those lights that on all the ball fields that were installed in 2005, so they're 20 years old.
20 years old. I can't believe it.
Thank you. Township Attorney Raj Kumar.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Paula stole my thunder. I was going to mention the vaccine, but it's okay. That's fine. I love that event, by the way. It is a free rabies clinic. Our residents should definitely take advantage of that. Please take care of your pets, especially your dogs, your cats. It's a great event. Just go there. And it's a drive-through, by the way, so you get to stay in your car. The dogs stay in the car with you. You have to hold them, and then they'll give the shot. You don't really necessarily have to get out of the car. So that's how convenient this is. It's freezing out there. Put on the heater and just, you know, wait online, and that's pretty much it. So please, please come. Take advantage of that. I would also like to, a shout out to Jen Johnson. She actually ran our first Piscataway Business Partnership event a week and a half ago. And it was a huge success. I was there. Councilwoman Sharon Carmichael was there. Councilman Earn was there. And also Councilwoman Sarah Rashid was there. And we met so many local businesses that I wasn't even aware of. And it was just a night full of networking, meeting people, having conversations. The mayor took some time to speak to the business owners, enlightening them of what's going on with the township, which is crucial to some businesses, roads, commute, travels through the roads and streets, and upcoming construction and road work. So, you know, it was very important for them, not just for the residents, but local businesses, so that way they can also communicate or prepare for any events that are happening, road closures or anything like that. So it was a great night. I'm looking forward to every month attending to these. I know they're, you know, I'm not sure of the schedule. I know that it's out, but if you have any questions pertaining to that, then just please call the township office and they'll gladly give you a schedule, an update, or how you can join the networking.
And those happen at the Y, correct?
That's correct. It happened in the community center. We had some refreshments. I know I had a wrap or two. So, but yes, it was, again, it was very social. We got to meet a lot of great people.
But I don't believe they're going to be at the Y every time. It's going to move around.
Yeah, the next time is
different businesses are going to host.
At the people at the bank.
Yep, different.
That's right. Yep.
Different businesses are going to be sponsoring each event. So that's why I said I don't know exactly where it is, but if you call the township, you can definitely get that information, or it should be on the website as well. Thank you. Okay. Agenda session for February 11, 2025. Ordinance second reading, amending Chapter 7, Traffic Section 8, open to public resolution, adopting ordinance. Resolution authorizing contract amendment, data collection and inspection services for Tax Assessor's Office Realty Data Systems, LLC, not to exceed $5,080. Resolution authorizing return of Sterling Village security deposit and payment of arrears to Township Piscataway Apartments 141 and 550. Resolution authorizing return of escrow. Block 5701, Lot 2, 1690 South Washington Avenue, 22-PB-13. Block 12801, Lot 4, 1421 River Road, 20-Z as in Zebra, B as in Bravo, -38/39V as in Victor. Block 303, Lot 42.01. 1790 West 7th Street, 22-0-bravo-07/23 Victor. Resolution authorizing return of safety and stabilization guarantee, block 1513, lots 15 and 16, 233 Stelton Road, 18-0-bravo-39/55 Victor. Resolution authorizing return of temporary certificate of occupancy guarantee. Block 4701, lot 5.05, 330 South Randallville Road, 19PB-43. Resolution authorizing return of soil erosion, sediment control, and driveway bonds. Block 1401, lot 1507.078 to Siri Court. Block 1401, lot 1505.059 to Siri Court. Block 10901, lot 2.02, 710 River Road. Okay, we're going to open this to the public. For remote attendees, if you wish to speak at this time, please raise your hand either on Zoom app or by phone by pressing star 9. When it's your turn to speak, you will receive or hear a request to unmute yourself. Please click the prompt or press star 6 on your phone to unmute yourself. At that time, please state your name and address and know that you have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. The council or administration will respond if necessary after you have completed any comments or questions. Ms. Cedar, do we have anybody in queue?
Council President, there are no remote attendees with their hand raised regarding this agenda item.
Thank you, Ms. Cedar. Opening up for the in-person attendees, if you wish to speak at this time, please come to the podium, state your name and address, and know that you have 3 minutes in which to make your comments. You may take a seat after completion of your comments or questions, and the council or administration will then respond if necessary. Please state your name and address.
Costas Eftimios, 58 Curtis.
Good evening.
This 77-year-old grunt is out in the street with his garbage can and a rake picking up your trash. He cuts the long along the walkway along the curb for 100 meters, and he trims bushes, and he's across the street trimming cherry trees as well. He helps his neighbors as best he can in every way. Some of them who defy ordinance think that he's crazy. Crazy. Dirty old man. I went to the senior citizen's office looking for some support. I went to property maintenance looking for support. They summoned me and fined me $300 for nothing. I went to the veterans looking for support. Oh, they're not involved with politics. Come to this council looking for support. This man is crazy. The neighborhood people who think I am crazy are the ones who are violating ordinance. That oak tree on Washington Avenue and Winans Ave still getting hit. That goes to show you what kind of work ethic you got. It's nothing but a finagle job. Ethics is non-existence if they have no voice.
For you. Just let the council know, South Washington Avenue is a county road, municipal road.
Thank you.
You. Pratik Patel, 29 Redbird Road. Congratulations of and first time coming into the council, and I hope the change is on the way. With that said, there are a few things that I would like to raise. There were a lot of, because obviously the past council, it was just a rubber stamp for mayor. That's my perception. I could be wrong, but everybody has the right to their perception. There were a lot of rules and regulations that I went and looked into the e-code. This is a task that I would like to give it to you. Look over through a fine-tooth comb and see which one of them are constitutional and which one are not, and which one are basically now becoming government overreach. Last year, I got something from Township, which was 16-11.2, which was some landlord registration. Look, I didn't apply for SRAP or anything. I believe in free markets. And for that, if tenants have any complaints, they have right to complain in Piscataway courts and file whatever motion that they have or issues that they have. Right now, what they are saying is, I have to submit this registration, and every year I have to pay another $100 to the township, and for what services? By the way, when they inspected the stuff, there were a few things they didn't even check. So they come in and they just sign these papers, nilly-willy, do I have a fire extinguisher, do I have this or do I have that? Look, I can do that myself. I don't need to pay somebody $100 for that. Okay? I think, to me, that money I can spend for repairs or do something else in my own home that I own. And by the way, over 100 years, for the house that I'm living in, they're going to charge me $700,000 in taxes. Now, if you're going to tell me that the equity of the house is going to cross $700,000 in 100 years, then I'll understand that. But right now, what government is doing is they're stripping out equity, then the same mayor or the government or the state is going to come, we need affordable housing. That's not how it works. If you're going to pay the loans and if you're paying fair share of taxes, then they got to figure out a way to look at this new equation in terms of how the taxing is working. Because you know what? Taxing is now nothing more than a glorified form of leeching and extortion. And it's distorting, and they're writing laws which are not even constitutional. And the other thing that I would like to talk about is how many of the businesses in this township or even in state are now just running because of legislation, and how many are free markets? What I mean is a person going, a willing buyer working with a willing seller on a business agreement and terms, and if they disagree, they can go to the courts that, hey, this is what we agreed upon and we didn't. But now we have laws on the books that I didn't consent for. They became laws. There were no petitions that were passed. And all of a sudden, they are becoming laws, and I'm obligated to pay for it. Worse, at a negative cost to me. And people call this as government. I don't think so. The government should work like this. The other aspect of it that I wanted to talk about was, in general, what I've seen is most of the meetings that I see in this agenda, I would like to propose a change where if they are putting any ordinances that are upcoming, I would like to get at least a month advance notice, or it should be written here. These are a separate line item which is called upcoming ordinance. And I would like to have a hearing on this, that people are objecting or people are supporting those ordinances and why. Because nowadays, what I've seen in the last 5 years is they have passed ordinance. We didn't even know what were they talked about, and they were just rubber stamped. And for which I have to pay for this. Oh. Thank you.
I just want to let the record reflect. I can't let this pass. Mr. Patel is an ultra-nationalist. He hates government at all levels. He says this all the time. He gives plethoras of arguments every day. He's sending some crazy anti-nationalist thing to the council. And, you know, this is he just doesn't think the rules should apply to him. Everybody else complies. He just doesn't think the rules should apply to him.
Well, Council President, if I may, I think more importantly is some of those things are on the books to protect renters. And it's not to protect the landowners or the landlords. It's there to protect people who are renting who don't have the financial wherewithal if something should go south. And you can just look at towns next door where people have no heat. You know, I don't know what their governments are doing with those buildings, but I can tell you in our town, we do protect the renters and the people who can't afford to necessarily pay for attorneys to defend themselves. The
government is not helping me. I'm sorry.
True, but I think we should respect everybody's opinions, and he does have the right to his opinion. So.
That's true, Councilwoman, but the fact is you don't get the emails, the crazy nonsense that he's been sending for the last 4 years. It's all right if he wants to be an ultra-nationalist anti-government, but let's like to reflect it. That's an excel.
You know what? It's not democracy anymore. It's mayor's autonomy.
Thank you.
Because, yes, when he talks ultra-nationalist...
And this is a key supporter of the person who ran against me, an anti-nationalist.
He's a fascist.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please step to the podium. Please state your name and address. Thank you.
Tyrone Granado, 8 Fountain Ave. I just have a general question. In the past, on the township's website, we used to be able to see upcoming plans for road surfacing and general infrastructure improvements.
When we get the list, we normally put it up when we adopt the budget.
So I haven't seen it in the last couple of years. Or it's
we haven't introduced our budget yet. No, it's been up there. We haven't introduced our budget.
I haven't been able to see it in an obvious place. At least I haven't seen it. And the reason why I'm asking this is that living on Fountain Ave, I know that the Enbridge lines cause a different level of complications to it, but Fountain Ave is in dire need of resurfacing and the sidewalks need repairing.
You have a very unique street, and I'll tell you the reason why. Just for those folks there was a lawsuit 20 plus years ago that the homeowners filed against Duke Energy not to touch the trees and everything like that. And that includes the town. So therefore, we may not be able to fix the street.
So I
homeowners out there now, but the law is
still. Yes, so having lived there since 2017, I came to know this by talking to the neighbors. I wasn't aware of this lawsuit until maybe 2-3 years ago. And I still don't think it warrants that at least the street doesn't get resurfaced. I know that some of the sidewalks are presenting now a trip hazard. I see elderly people, young mothers walking their kids, and almost every other sidewalk section is either elevated, dipped, and I don't see anything being done to.
Ultimately, the sidewalks are the homeowner's responsibility.
Not when the tree between the sidewalks.
But you got a situation where there was a lawsuit.
It's the one that's causing. Yeah.
I know, but there is a lawsuit. Normally, we would go as a courtesy to take care of that, but because of the lawsuit, we can't take care of it.
Okay, then the second thing that I have is that a couple of years ago, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 years ago now, they resurfaced Beatty, which is, I live on a corner of Beatty and Fountain. And the curb drain that runs down from the top of the crest of the fountain going down Beatty, when they resurfaced it, the steamroller, the curb as adjacent to my property, was steamrolled. And it essentially degraded the curb drain. And now every time the street sweeper passes, it takes those stones and puts them into the middle of the street. Especially in the summer, it becomes a serious hazard because then cars driving up and down the street launch those little rocks like missiles. And my kids play in the yard. I've been in the yard and I've heard these rocks hit my siding. Is there something that can be done about that?
Why don't you just come up here and give Paula your address and we'll have the engineering department go out and take a look at it, okay?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Mayor, I do have a question on this. I know the lawsuit was
in 20 seconds or less, the Duke Energy wanted to come in and clear out all the trees because it's where the pipeline is. You have 3 major pipelines, the one that was in Edison that blew up. They wanted to go in and clear it. They have every right to do that. So the former councilman, Steve Kahn, was doing pro bono work for the street, ended up in the state Supreme Court. They ruled in favor of the residents, and therefore the trees stayed. And so now the towns or the Duke can't touch the trees, which means you can't fix the sidewalks. Because if you touch the sidewalks, you're cutting the roots of the trees and denigrating the trees and to come down. So it's a catch-22.
The trees are causing a problem with the sidewalks.
But yeah,
you can't touch
the tree.
Because of the
so because of ruling. Lawsuit.
Right.
And so this is one of the drawbacks. So consequently, you have now more than probably half the homes or more have all changed hands. And the homeowners who bought in on that street didn't know about the lawsuit.
Is there a time limit on that?
Oh, boy.
So even if it's imperfect, but the trees at this point in time are starting to age, and some of them, every time we have a snowstorm or windstorm, there's huge branches that fall. No one even trims the trees.
No maintenance.
We would love to go in and go for like any other street, but because of that suit. We'll go and take a look. I'll have the engineering department, Public Works, go out there. We got your number, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Anyone else? Good Good evening, Curtis.
Good evening. Curtis Grubb, 1750 West 3rd. Few of my neighbors didn't show up. I guess it's like Councilwoman Lombardi says too cold. They didn't come out. One of them had an issue. They received a, I don't know if I mentioned it to Frank, they received a certified or registered letter in reference to some soil about their yard or the houses on 3rd, on Hazelwood, I'm sorry. I didn't get one, so I'm assuming it's just the ones over there. I'm trying to figure out, and maybe the mayor or Frank could help me understand, we need to know what's going on with the two properties, which is 1776 South 2nd, and the fence company that's across the street. Our knowledge is they're being sold.
Curtis, you're talking about the dead end of the street?
To the left.
That backs up to where the new townhouses are in Dunellen?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, the property, no application has been filed yet. I guess the property's been, is on the market, from what I understand. And then
both
obviously, so whoever is looking to buy that property, they probably put letters out to find out where the delineation and where the wetlands are. I'm assuming that's what it is.
So whoever
potentially is buying the property.
Which you know of?
Whoever's buying the property, we don't get formal confirmation here until an application's been filed, and no application has been filed for that. Quite frankly, I wish the property would get cleaned up because it's causing us a major headache over there for the residents. Right, Curtis?
Yeah, kind of. That's why I was surprised that the people, like she said.
So all the illegal dumping going on there and everything else you could think of is going on out there.
Well, with the illegal dumping, no disrespect, Mary, we have cameras. Why haven't we caught them? We have cameras.
We don't have the cameras on the private property. Public rights away.
They're dumping down on them two pieces of property.
Yeah, but
there's cameras on.
Curtis, that's private property down the end.
Okay, I don't think it is, but I'll have to do my homework and I'll talk to Frank. The other issue they was talking about, when the weather got, before it got bad, the park and across the street from the park, when do they spray for the bugs and mosquitoes? When do they do?
You're talking about the Mosquito Control Commission?
Whoever's supposed to spray, is it us or them?
Well, it would be the Mosquito
Control Commission. They take samples of water, standing water, throughout our community and on other areas of Middlesex County on a regular basis. Obviously, they're not taking it during the wintertime because mosquitoes aren't breeding during the wintertime.
Mayor, that's run through Middlesex, correct?
That's it. Yeah, Middlesex County Mosquito Control Commission.
What we're trying to figure out, is there a date or the time that they do this? Because I have my neighbor here. They haven't been there. That's what I'm trying to find out. When? If they supposed to?
They've done some aerial splash here. They did do some aerial spraying.
In Piscataway.
They do those aerial spraying, but they're also looking at standing water. So if they're going to target areas, it's based upon an issue that exists.
Which does exist.
Right, but they would, so it wouldn't be, so I should clarify. So then you wouldn't have like a standard schedule, right? They're going to start coming out when the weather's not. I get them all the time because I have the park right down the street from me. So we get the notices like at least once a year that they're going to be spraying over by the Johnson Park area. I'm assuming that's because
we do. If we receive a notice, we put it on our township website and a map of the area where they're
spraying. Right. I see it because we know that we have over in that park puddles that remain.
Do my homework. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you, Curtis. Anyone else? Good evening, Mr. Atkins.
Okay. Good evening, Council.
Good evening. Evening.
David Atkins and Both Valley Lane. Item 11 Alpha. That's from the consent agenda. I know you have addressed that. I know that the township is requesting $100,000 for for a grant. Once that's finalized, will you make notice of what the results were?
We would do a resolution accepting whatever the dollar amount would be if we were successful with the grant to incorporate it into our budget, okay?
Okay. Item number 11 Delta, still the consent agenda. The $275,000 for the gasoline, is that for 1 year?
Yes.
Okay. Item 11 F for Foxtrot. What was the amount before change number one? Right now it's...
So David, this change order is to PA&G want an additional money to run the power lines to the towers when they overestimate it. We actually have a subcontractor doing this, which is PSE&G wanted $250,000 to run that, so we have somebody else run the line at a cheaper rate to do that.
What's the rate?
Well, it's more than half of what PSE&G was going to charge us.
Item 11J for Juliet. I don't understand that statement. Can you clarify that for me? That's pertaining to the tax collector. I didn't understand that.
That's for its software. So SHI is a reseller for on the state contract for Edmund software. That's the financial name of the software that the tax collector's office uses in order for to collect taxes for our utilities and in your property taxes. So it's just software to allow us to purchase that.
How often does that change as far as the software? Do you do it every year? Do you?
I don't know what the town had prior to, if this is a new purchase, but Edmunds typically will be the software that will be used by the tax collector's office going forward.
Any particular reason why you're switching up?
David, pretty much 90% of the towns in the state of the New Jersey have Edmunds.
Okay. It's a good program. I've used it before. It's user-friendly. Not that anything else is bad. It's just a different program, and it helps, you know, calculate lien redemptions and a lot of other things that the tax collector's office needs to do.
11 Mike, the hazardous discharge. Is this something that's been approved, or you're just waiting for authorization? And will you fill... Elaborate on that.
That's the governing body approval that's needed in order to submit the grant application to ask for funding from the state New Jersey DEP to provide funding for the remediation. So the township is hoping to get the remediation we're eligible for is up to $3 million.
Okay.
So hopefully we can get that money.
Okay, I see the lot and block. What's the address?
It's the ecological park.
Right. It's South Washington, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
11 November, something else I don't quite understand. The compensation for the fire district number 4, what's that all about?
So, David, what typically is every fire district has to submit their compensation on what they receive, meaning the 5 fire commissioners in each district. We have 4 districts, 5 commissioners. That's 20 commissioners throughout the town. Each district has to submit to the council what their compensation is, and we have to vote on it.
You said that they get, where do they get it from?
From the taxpayers.
Okay.
Third Saturday of February.
Sorry, folks get mail-in ballots for those now too, Mayor. So you'll see it if you do mail-in ballot, you'll get it in the mail, but you'll also get a notice to go vote. And that's when you, as the taxpayer, can go either vote yes or no on the fire district budget.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Aikens. Motion to adjourn.
Offer.
Second. All those in favor?
Sorry, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Have a good night.